Welcome, thirsty soul. The South Main Church of Christ podcast is intended as a collaborative effort between the Churches of Christ in East Central and Southeast Ohio who sing vocal music during worship services. Our goal with the podcast is simple: to connect the message of Christ with you through the lessons from the Bible. We hope you will find this podcast to be a fountain for all. Hi, this is Jim Lanning. This week on South Main Church of Christ podcast, we sit down with Scott Fetcher from Somerset Church of Christ to discuss the book of Jonah from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible.
If I say Jonah, what's the first thing you think of?
I think about the fish.
You think about the fish, right?
Or whale.
Right? And so I'm sure you can ask people, and not only do adults know this account in the Bible, but also children. And that's the exciting point of, what? You mean a man was swallowed by a fish?
Mm-hmm. We'll get back to our interview with Scott in a moment or two. First, details about the Christian News with Jared.
The Christian News is updated frequently on its own page on our website, smcocnl.org. It is a resource of dozens of stories, but with a focus on Ohio. Some of the stories that we've covered on the Christian News include the Ohio State Buckeyes' baptisms and prayers on their road to the national title. Also, the Churches of Christ disaster response team near Dayton and their recovery efforts after major storms. Many more topics are covered on the Christian News page on smcocnl.org.
We heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Find the sea and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Now, Tyler has this week's inspirational thought.
The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. I'm Tyler Waite.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, all day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, all day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Now, the conversation. Hi, Scott. It's good to have you here today, and pleased that you were able to come.
Hey, Jim. It's good to be here. I'm glad that I made it here safely.
Scott's going to talk to us today about Jonah, so the book of Jonah.
Yes, I am. I'm excited. I was able to come out and speak today, and there's a lot of things in the Bible that one can talk about, but being a preacher, and sometimes you know that you're going to speak on Sunday, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's planned, and then if someone's going to preach for you, but last minute they get sick, or vice versa. And so I've done some study in the book of Jonah, and I really like Jonah. It's only four chapters. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people know about Jonah. I'm sure if I say Jonah, what's the first thing you think of?
I think about the fish.
You think about the fish, right?
Or whale.
Right? And so I'm sure you can ask people, and not only do adults know this account in the Bible, but also children. And that's the exciting point of, what? You mean a man was swallowed by a fish? Mm-hmm. And so that's, what people tend to think of when they think about Jonah. But as I've done my study and I've listened to other sermons from it and just spent time in it, I've heard it described, you think about it, it's four chapters. And so chapter one can be described as how Jonah runs from God. Chapter two is he runs to God. Third is that he's running with God. And then the fourth is that he runs against God. And so you see that. You see he's always active, Jonah. He's always moving in some fashion, in some form. And again, it's a really short book, but there's a lot there. And to unpack that today, I look forward to it. One of the things the Bible lets us in on and tells us when he is there, chapter 1, says God comes to him with the announcement that you need to go to Nineveh, right? So we know about the fish and we know where he's supposed to go. And we also know that Jonah says, nope, I'm not going. And so, but what we probably don't take into consideration is where he's from, where he's going. You know, the Bible tells us that he has to get to Joppa. He's got to get on a boat because he's not happy considered there to stay in his homeland. That's God can reach him there. And he doesn't stay on land. He doesn't want to head anywhere close to Nineveh. So he's going to go in the complete opposite direction. He's going to get on this boat. But what that means is if we look to the scriptures and it tells us about his homeland, that the distance from there to Joppa is about 60 miles, give or take, but about 60 miles. So again, depending on his condition, his age, and those things. But if Jonah was able to walk 20 miles, hike 20 miles a day, that means it still takes Jonah 3 days. Three days to get onto this boat. Now, I point that out because of, if you know, about at the end of chapter 1, after he says, nope, I'm not going to Nineveh, he's getting on a boat in Joppa to go to Tarshish. And that's where he's going. He's trying to get away from God, and we see that God does get involved. God sends a storm, and God displays his power, his authority. And it comes about that Jonah has to recognize that before some sailors that were on the boat. And Jonah, it gets upon him to explain, hey, what's the situation? Do you know why the storm has come? He says, yep, I do. I serve the one true God. He's the God over the land. He's made the land and he's made the sea. Right there, you stop at that point. Jonah understood and knew who God was. That there was nowhere he could hide. No cleft in no mountain. No valley, no sea, no boat that he could ever run away from God truly. God was always going to know where Jonah was. Always going to know him. And so we talk about that of, well, God does put a stop to it. God does not let him get to Tarshish. God does not let him run away. But, like I said, I pointed out about the whole, about the 3-day journey or so down to Joppa. And we don't get an account where it says that he had a bad sandstorm, or that he got overheated, you know, he got dehydrated. We're not told that. God let him get on the boat. God may even let him think he's getting away with it. But we do see at the end that Jonah does not get away with running from God, and that's a good message for us. Maybe that we're in that situation in life. We think, you know, I want to get away from God. What he's asking me, what I feel like he's wanted me to do, you know, the Bible says to love my neighbor, and it's really easy to love those who love me, but I'm not sure I want to love my neighbor. I'm not sure I want to forgive people. It's real easy. It's easier to react to something than to just be calm, patient with people, to long suffer with people. And so maybe we're like Jonah. Maybe we tried to run away. But if we remember this lesson that there's nowhere you and I can go and hide away from God, nowhere that we can do that. Now, we talked about, when I say Jonah, you say, you know, I think of the fish, right? Mm-hmm. And we think about where his target audience was. His target audience was Nineveh. That's what God wanted him to do. This was his purpose. There's a whole city of people in sin, and I need you to go talk with them. That was his audience. But in chapter 1, verse 16, we're reminded of the men on the boat. The men on the boat. This is somehow easy for us at times to overlook, to not pay attention to, that these men were also affected positively by Jonah being a servant of God. It's by Jonah explaining who God was and by them eventually throwing him off. They didn't want to. They were good people. They wanted to save Jonah any way they could without throwing him overboard. But came to the end and they said, we can't escape this storm unless we throw Jonah off. So it is, they throw him off. And just like that, the storm ceases. Things are calm. Everything's good. And so what it tells us there is it says that these men turned to God and they offered a sacrifice to him. Now, they hadn't believed in God beforehand. They believed in some other deities and those things. But now they had recognized God's power and authority. So we talk about Nineveh, and there's a great number of people in Nineveh. And let's not overlook that. That's an amazing thing that takes place in Nineveh. Mm-hmm. But while we talk about that, and it's a joyous, exciting thing, what happens in Nineveh, it's also those people on the boat. So whether it's a large group of people that turn their lives to Christ, or whether it's a small group of people that turn their lives to Christ, it's still necessary, still meaningful. And so that these men on that boat, their lives were changed because of their interaction with Jonah and what he's able to share with them about God. So we see this take place, and in chapter 2, this is where we see him running to God. It's there. The whole chapter is basically spent on his prayer. On his prayer to God. And he says that he will pay what he vowed to God. Now again, chapter 1 starts off with God speaking to him as a messenger. Jonah was a prophet. One that meant was God would share a message with him, and Jonah took it out to the people. And so Jonah had done that time and time again. But when it came to Nineveh, it wasn't just that it was a long journey. These people were wicked, evil people to Jonah and his relatives, to God's people. And so, again, the whole point of loving your enemy, well, that is a challenge for Jonah. And so it's not just, oh, well, I know these people are wicked, I know they're sinful, but they're wicked and sinful towards me. It's personal with Jonah. And so, again, you see in this prayer, though, he says, I will pay what I vowed. I vow to you that I'd be a servant to you, God, and I will pay that vow. And he ends that prayer, interestingly enough, with salvation is of the Lord. Now, I want you to think about that, because we're going to talk about that as we get to chapter 4 and Jonah's mindset and how he feels as if he has some say in about this salvation, and who gets it and who is it for. But he does end his prayer. He ends his prayer with salvation is of the Lord, not of Jonah, but of the Lord. So what we get then in chapter 3 is he gets the fish, spits him out. He's able to walk up. He goes into the great city of Nineveh. And in our Bibles, and talk about New King James Version, New King James Version, we use 8 English words for his sermon. Now, in this lesson of his, in this message of his, there is no hope offered. No hope. There is no repent so that you might be saved. There is a timeline, 40 days, and then there's destruction. That's all he gives them, a timeline and destruction. That's all he says to these people. Now, it's interesting that that's a message he didn't want to take to these people. They were his enemies. You think he'd be excited about, well, I get to go tell these people that they're about to be destroyed. That's all he says. But what we see and what we note as the text goes on and tells us, it says the people of Nineveh decided to repent. They didn't know if God would forgive them, but they understood that they were in the wrong. And so they repented, they fasted, they prayed, they cried out to God. And what we see at the end of chapter 3 is that God relented. God relented. God chose. He was meant to do destruction upon Nineveh. They were in sin. But he sees the change in their heart. And so God says, I meant harm for you. I meant destruction for you while you were in sin. Because I can't live with sin. I can't be around those in sin. But you've changed. And so I'm going to let you see the sun rise tomorrow. I'm going to give you a second chance. Mm-hmm. Again, remind ourselves, that's what he did with Jonah. Jonah was disobedient. But what did he do for Jonah? He allowed him to escape drowning. He allowed him to escape the fish, right? So he gives Jonah these second chances. And if he's going to do it for Jonah, who was disobedient, he's going to do it for this great city. So we see this. Now I want to read something to you from the Bible. And I want you to tell me, when you hear this, how do you feel about it? All right. Mm-hmm. So in describing God, you are gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from harm. Now, if I use that to describe God, how would you feel about that?
I think it's a good description, but if he's saying that, why wasn't he doing what he should have been doing first, I would think, too?
Say that again. Why would Jonah not be doing
it? Yeah. Are you saying that's what Jonah said?
So this is how Jonah describes God, but what I want what I'm asking the question for is, if someone told me that that's who God is, I'd be pretty excited about it. Because I know that I've messed up, and I know I'm in sin.
Yeah.
And so if I'm told that God is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, well, I need someone who's slow to anger to work with me, right?
Right.
So I'm pretty appreciative of that. One who's abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from harm. Mm-hmm. Well, good, I'm kind of worried. There's a lot of, and you talk about people with power and authority, they're out to do harm.
Right.
And so you're telling me that there's a God who won't do that? Well, that's exciting, but not in the case of Jonah. You see, when Jonah brings these things up, he's actually accusing God of these things. Not only accusing, but he's upset. Because all those things are true about God, that means Nineveh doesn't get destroyed. That means they get to see another day.
Yeah.
And so where you and I ought to rejoice and we're celebrating, we're telling other people that this is who God is. If it doesn't matter, you know, the sin you committed or those things, how long you've been in sin, but salvation is for you, is possible, made for you through Christ. Yet Jonah had a problem with that. And but now again, I want you to think about all those things which are absolutely true about God, that he's slow to anger. He's one who abounds in loving kindness, one who relents from harm. But now think about what the Bible also says. What we're told about those who are in sin, who do not repent of sin. Think about in the beginning, we're told about the flood. How many people survived the flood?
Only Noah and his family.
Noah and his family, right? That's 8 people.
Right.
8 people. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. How many people are we told that flee Sodom and Gomorrah?
Right. I was thinking about that when thinking about Nineveh, you think about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Right.
And so there were 4 people who were on their way out, but only 3 truly make it out because Lot's wife turns back into a pillar of salt. So you only have those individuals. Well, think about the Egyptians, right? They have been enslaving God's people of those things. And so here it is, God's people finally get let loose. They're free, but they're chasing after them. Well, then, as God's people make it across on dry land, everything's good. The Egyptians who come across next, they don't get to make the same journey on dry land. Yet the water falls in over them, it caves in, and so they drown. God does punish wickedness. It's not, God will never punish wickedness. Don't take that from this account in Jonah of, well, you know, he is a patient, merciful God, and so he will always be that way. He never punishes sin. He does. But again, what's the difference in this account? We see the repentance, yet we see a change from these people. And so that's what must be required. Again, I want to point out about this great city. It tells us that there are more than 120,000 people. More than 120,000 people. And of what rejoicing that ought to be. Now, not in a negative sense, but just in comparison, we talk about a lot of the New Testament and a lot of excitement. You know, we're the New Testament church here today. And so we like to talk about when the church was established and the day of Pentecost.
Right.
And how exciting that was. Mm-hmm. And how many people does it say were baptized that day?
3,000.
3,000, which is an amazing thing. An amazing thing. We talk about, you know, when one person is baptized here, we're excited. We're glorious. We're excited for that person who's made that change for their life. Absolutely.
Amen.
But again, you think about that, and you think about how many people were at the day of Pentecost. And so 3,000 is a good number. It's a great number. But there are a lot of people who turned away, who didn't want to respond that day. Maybe they would later in time. Maybe a year or two later. Maybe that seed was planted and they'd respond. But not that day. But yet, with 8 words to a group of people he didn't like, yet Jonah was able to get a whole city. 120,000 people were saved with no hope. But if yet he did what God told him to do.
Right.
And so what an amazing, amazing thing. I told you we'd come back to this, and I'll end here. But Jonah ends that prayer with, salvation is of the Lord. Now, again, I ask you that question. Does Jonah really believe that? Does he really believe it? Because you see in chapter 4, he's questioned God about his patience, his kindness towards them. And we see that God will give people second chances. We are to put aside our personal feelings and think like our Heavenly Father. That salvation's not up to me. I don't get to decide who gets to be saved. I don't get to decide and make judgments on sin, of which sin is worse than the other. But I have to have that mindset, as Jonah did when he was in the belly of fish and was crying out to God. He's in despair, lost almost all his hope, almost lost his life. And to have that mindset, I don't get to be the judge like he did in chapter 4. He's complaining and upset. But I need to have a simple mindset, a humble mindset, that salvation belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
That we're all enemies. We've all turned our backs on him. And so that it's not up to me, but it's up to him and who he saves. And I'm grateful for that myself.
Thank you, Scott. Very informative, and I enjoyed that. I was thinking I would say one thing as we close today. Many times, if those that might be listening, if you don't believe in God, this is something for you to think about and to get into the Word and study these stories. I have heard people tell me before that they really think that these stories in the Bible are just for our learning. But no, we have an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God. God is our Creator. He can do anything He pleases. Here's Mark Randolph with this week's bulletin announcements.
Welcome to this week's announcements. We remember all the ones that's on the prayer list, especially the ones that has recovering for procedures and having tests coming up, and also ones that's recovering from illnesses and be with them during their time. Also, we have our Bible studies on Sunday morning at 9:45. Sunday evening, the ladies get together at 5 p.m. on the phone. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study at 6:30, and we're doing the Book of James on that night. Also, the church youth group get together. The next time will be on May the 9th, and that's a Friday night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. That'll be in our fellowship hall. Also, we got our Friday night sing, June the 27th, coming up, and that'll be at 7 p.m. This upcoming Sunday, we have our gospel meeting with Tony Troll coming up, and that'll be May 4th, 5th, and 6th. I invite you all to come to that. This is Mark Randolph bringing you weekly announcements.
My final thoughts on Jonah would be this. I've talked to people before that have told me, oh, those are just stories in the Old Testament. But these things are backed up by what Jesus said in the New Testament. So if you're going to believe Jesus, then Jonah was a real person. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 41, Matthew 16 and verse 4, and Luke chapter 11, 29 through 32, Jesus speaks about Jonah. Thanks for listening. I'm Jim Lanning, currently serving as one of the three elders at South Main Church of Christ in New Lexington, Ohio. The other two elders at our church are Tom Shepherd and Ernie Starling. Our theme is There's a Fountain Free, composed by Mrs. M.B.C. Slade and Dr. A.B. Everett. Other hymns we feature in this podcast are He Paid a Debt He Did Not Owe, composed by American Folk Melody and Pam Stevenson. Also, we have heard A Joyful Sound, composed by William J. Kirkpatrick and Priscilla J. Owens. And to close this podcast, I'll Fly Away, composed by Albert E. Brumley. We would like to thank all of the guests who agreed to take part in our discussion each week and hope to have them back with us in the future to discuss the Bible and what we can learn from Scripture. Our guests this season are from, but not limited to, the following organizations: the Southeast Ohio Food Bank in Logan, Hawking County; Christ's Table in Zanesville, Muskingum County; Somerset Church of Christ in Somerset, Perry County; New Concord Church of Christ in New Concord, Muskingum County; Churches of Christ Disaster Response Team in Tip City, Miami County; Pennsville Church of Christ in Pennsville, Ohio, Morgan County; Lone Star Church of Christ in Falls of Rough, Kentucky; World Bible School. Our weekly announcements are written by Holly Randolph and narrated by Mark Randolph. Thanks to Jared Allen, our technology room steward and media producer, as well as for serving as the writer, editor, and the scheduler of our guests. Jared also is our webmaster and assembler of the stories on the Christian News webpage. We thank all of our church members for their support. Most of all, we thank you for listening each week to the South Main Church of Christ podcast and hope you will subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We hope you will come join us for a Sunday worship service at 7 Smith Street in New Lexington, Ohio, and stop in during one of our Bible study sessions. Please be on the lookout for our special podcast posted from time to time. Let's talk again in a week.